St. Luke's. Here are the announcements for this morning. This is a reminder that our new racial justice study group, Becoming the Beloved Community, will begin on Tuesday, July 21st. If you are interested in that, please contact Leanne. Her contact information is in the bulletin. I want to thank everybody for filling out survey results. It looks like we've just about got all of them in. So if you haven't had a chance to mail those and if you get them in the mail, we'd appreciate that. And then as soon as we have everybody's comments, we're going to aggregate the results and post them on the website so that everybody has an opportunity to see them. We want to thank the Reverend Suzanne Guthrie for being with us this morning. Always a pleasure to have her. And everybody have a beautiful Sunday.
Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may know and understand what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish that, guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 25, 19 through 34. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Paddan Aram, sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is to be this way, why do I live?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger." When her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy mantle. so they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand gripping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished." Therefore, he was called Edom. Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Psalm 119. Your word is a lantern to my feet and a light upon my path. I have sworn and am determined to keep your righteous judgments. I am deeply troubled. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing tribute of my lips, and teach me your judgments. My life is always in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have set a trap for me, but I have not strayed from your commandments. Your decrees are my inheritance forever. Truly, they are the joy of my heart. I have applied my heart to fulfill your statutes forever and to the end. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that just the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind of the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raises Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raises Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Reading from the Gospel of Matthew. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart, and this is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was grown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. Here ends the lesson. Hey, St. Luke's people, it's Suzanne, and I hope you're staying safe and healthy and cool. This sermon is about seeds and the parable of the sower. I hold three mottled white and burgundy beans in the palm of my hand. The beans are named Jacob's cattle, for the striped, speckled, and spotted goats that Jacob bred in that funny sequence in Genesis when Laban and Jacob are trying to outwit one another. The beans are precious souvenirs I kept to remind me of the 6 years my husband Bill and I lived on an organic farm with Episcopal nuns in the Harlem Valley north of New York City. After 5 decades of teaching in the 2 schools they founded, the Sisters of the Community of the Holy Spirit embraced a prophetic call to respond to the environmental crisis. Bill and I were invited to participate as resident companions. Our interns called it the Nun Farm. We were all striving to live a life reflecting sustainable living, social justice, and spiritual fulfillment. Daily life involved organic farming, that is, maple sugaring, planting, tending, gathering, and preserving food. Singing the monastic offices, in Gregorian chant, mind you, fellowship, hospitality, service to others, environmental education, reskilling, that is, learning how to do things by hand, and what the sisters called Eucharistic living, that is, seeing the mystery expressed in the liturgy within all of life. Of the sisters' many agricultural activities, the most interesting to me was the saving of seeds. As a lover of flowers, I'd planted seeds plenty of times in my life, but I'd never noticed seeds other than as a means to an end. The way we lived on the farm required not only reflecting, discussing, and meditating on our daily work, but also awakening to implications of the human endeavor of growing food for survival. We knew perfectly well that if our crops failed, we could go to the local A&P. But we were trying to understand and empathize with what it is like to be dependent upon the land, conscious of land's adversaries and advocates in places beyond suburban New York. One Easter day, a pack of coyotes massacred 2/3 of our chicken flock while we were singing vespers in the chapel. It was not difficult to imagine how devastating the consequences might have been had we not been able to simply order another box of cute little baby chicks. But we took time to reflect how a similar event might affect, say, a rural Ugandan family. When my seed-grown brassicas died in my experimental kitchen garden, I thoughtlessly drove to Agway for a six-pack of already sprouted cauliflower. But what if all our seeds had failed? What if there was no Agway to go to? Or if we had not saved the best of our seeds year after year? Or if we, like many exploited farmers in so-called developing countries, had purchased sterile seeds from global agribusinesses? I love to think of an ancestor 10,000 years ago contemplating three beans in her hand, enjoying the pleasant clacking as she shakes them, just as I am doing now. Maybe she's juggling an infant on her hip and thinking of next season and the likelihood of both hips and arms likewise occupied with a new baby. So instead of eating these beans, she plants them, hoping to gather more in one place next harvest. The nuns witnessed, and I began to sense consciousness in the plants, the desires, preferences, and strategies for fruitfulness. The sister in charge of growing corn loved to joke loudly, "I think the corn is raising us." The Japanese natural farmer Mananobu Fukukoa says that the purpose of farming is not the growing of crops, but the cultivation and perfection of human beings. You can feel that on an organic farm, especially while practicing permaculture, where everything is connected and necessary to everything else in complex and beautiful cycles, all mutually beneficial. I'm aware of a moral shift, a sense of earth farming me. I'm essential, but not the purpose of the garden. And in this, I find my place on earth. Each seed presents me with a cosmic mystery. The seed falls to the ground to die. The sower sleeps and one day rises to see that death, transformation, and resurrection have taken place in the dark. As Jesus observed in the parable of the growing seed, we know not how. That's from the 4th chapter of Mark. And then we celebrate Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for this mystery of life and death and life again. As if to say, we know not how, but we know it is in a beautiful dance. Welcome and unwelcome, seeds scatter miraculously. One plant blooms and sends forth seeds 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. gathered in the cheeks of rodents, or borne along breezes by downy silk, clasps, fishhooks, sticky foam, seeds nestle within tempting fruit eaten by the birds, digested and dropped along winged flight paths. Tomatillo scraps fed to the chickens one season flourish uninvited in our yard the next. As tiny as mustard seeds, or as large as peach pits, seeds migrate with beguiling ingenuity. As I rambled about the farm, I began to notice that seeds stuck to my hair and clothes and embedded themselves in the mud beneath my sneaker. The seeds made me their seed carrier. "Here she comes. Ready, guys? Jump!" Clever plants. When I planted seeds for the first time as a child, my mother taught me this old proverb, which has many variations. One for the mouse, one for the crow, one to rot and one to grow. Of the seeds you plant, maybe one in four will grow, the adage said. Some versions have the wind or the rook taking away seeds as well. I like the idea of birds and burrowing rodents sharing the abundance, the wind grasping seeds only to drop them into surprising places. I even like the realistic allowance for biological chance, some seeds folding back into earth without the quickening spark to initiate fulfillment of the life cycle. The sower in Jesus' parable is generous, profligate even. The sower wantonly throws seed amongst rocks and thorns and onto pathways. Jesus means to make us laugh. What kind of sower sows with such excess, such uninhibited childish extravagance? The seed, of course, is sheer grace. After living at the nun farm, I no longer think of the thorns, the rocks, the pathways, the birds as others, with us nice Christians as the fertile soil. In my own soul, I embody the infertility, the leaving to chance, the impossibly stubborn thorns, the immutable rocks, the shallow soil, the unprotected ground, the carelessly trodden pathways wide open for winged robbers and burrowing thieves. My own soul embodies all these obstacles. The seed is scattered so generously to my whole imperfect, stubborn, shallow being, and still seed finds a niche for grace to grow and transfigure and burst into more grace 100, 60, 30-fold. Like mine, the seed is scattered in others the same way, regardless of rocks and thorns and chance and shallowness and the parched soil of their own hearts. With all this generosity, I should not begrudge God's generosity, scattered with such playful abandon toward myself, toward others, toward all of earth. I need not hoard grace. And so, my brothers and my sisters, you birds of the air, you little mice, feed your families, eat your fill, plenty of grace for all.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen, We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to the Lord, saying our prayer. Let us pray for God's people across the world. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the earth, that we may treat her gently. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our families, our friends, and our neighbors.
We remember especially Nancy Mack and Charles and their family. Who is on your heart this morning?
God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who are sad or scared or suffering. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died. God of love,
hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your disciples, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, where with God and the Holy Spirit you live and reign now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Prayer for mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church, and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.